This is Alexis Watson, and today's podcast is called Bad Sponsors. Everyone learns how to read at their own pace, but most teachers do what they can to make the process fun and uplifting. Unfortunately, many students of literacy fall out of love with reading. This sudden distaste for literacy typically isn't random. An underlying theme of most literacy narratives with unhappy endings is the presence of a bad sponsor. In her essay, Sponsors of Literacy, Deborah Brandt defines sponsors as
any agents who enable, support, teach, model, as well as recruit, regulate, suppress, or withhold literacy and gain advantage by it in some way.
Brandt's point is that acquiring literacy oftentimes requires a helper, but their motives for teaching are never pure. This leads to the idea of a bad sponsor, a sponsor that actually sets back literacy development or takes the fun out of reading for a student. The Rising Karen Archive includes many literacy narratives written by students feeling down on themselves or otherwise disinterested in reading due to negative sponsors. Some of these sponsors did have selfish motives for teaching, but others had good intentions coupled with poor teaching skills, an idea Brandt fails to entertain. Regardless of intent, students exposed to bad sponsors were oftentimes left writing victim narratives, which Bronwyn Williams defines as a narrative describing
bad or insensitive teaching.
In his essay, Heroes, Rebels, and Victims, Student Identities and Literacy Narratives. The plethora of victim narratives featuring a bad sponsor highlights the damage they can do. One bad sponsor can ruin years of positive experiences with literacy and leave students feeling like victims, even if the sponsor's intentions are pure. When people are exposed to a bad sponsor, they're quick to lose their interest in literacy altogether. In his literacy narrative, Learning to Not Hate English from the Rising Karen Literacy Archive, Bill talks about how he loved to read when he was young until Mrs. Andrews caused him to lose momentum. Throughout the narrative, it's clear that he believes he is a
victim, meaning someone that has been exposed to bad teaching.
This is essential to understanding the lasting impact Bill's bad sponsor left on him. He claims to have been
set back in my learning techniques.
And he believes the class set him up for failure his senior year. Bill caught on quickly that Mrs. Andrews, who only required the class to read one book, was only a literacy sponsor, if she can even be called that, to collect a salary. His work shows that teachers aren't really teaching to educate at all. This is the kind of selfish sponsor Brandt warned people about.
Sponsors lend their resources or credibility to the sponsor, but also stand to gain benefits from their success.
Bill's narrative provides evidence for Brandt's idea that sponsors are always working to benefit themselves. It's near impossible for students to engage in class and maintain their interest in literacy when negative sponsors or teachers don't care about their learning. This example of a narrative affirms Brandt's idea of a sponsor's motives. Negative sponsors aren't always as blatantly disinterested as Mrs. Andrews. In fact, negative sponsors oftentimes have a passion for teaching. Sponsors with good intentions can be perceived as negative if a student is highly sensitive. These well-meaning sponsors have the same stunting effect on literacy development as the self-centered sponsors Brandt describes. Since it's difficult to grade English objectively, students may get oversensitive about their grades. This can be seen in Beth's literacy narrative, The Tale of How I Learned to Truly Dedicate Myself in School. In the narrative, Beth writes about getting a B+ on a paper that all of her friends got A's for, even though they all worked closely together. This greatly hurt Beth's confidence and made her feel like she
didn't know what I was doing.
The experience made Beth recoil from learning in that class, and she wouldn't ask her teacher, Mrs. Smith, about why she got the grade she did, for fear of the teacher disliking her
any more than I thought she already did by complaining about a grade.
I would categorize Beth's narrative as a victim narrative, like Bill's. this feeling of victimhood is what makes Mrs. Smith a bad sponsor, not her intent, which was pure. When reading this narrative, I couldn't help but think Mrs. Smith was just doing her job. She most likely saw places that could be improved upon and graded the assignment in a way she felt would push her student to do better next time. Interestingly enough, Mrs. Smith is not unlike Sarah's first grade sponsor that led her to still reading
good, happy, silly, fun books.
Mrs. Johnson, her teacher, was considered a positive sponsor for challenging Sarah to read harder books. Mrs. Smith and Mrs. Johnson were both trying to challenge their students so they would leave their respective classrooms with a better sense of literacy. I believe both of these sponsors had pure intentions, but Mrs. Smith's execution was off. When placed next to each other, these narratives show that when it comes to literacy sponsorship, poor teaching skills are oftentimes what makes a sponsor leave a negative impact, not said sponsor's motives. Bad sponsors don't always just dole out bad grades. Sometimes, instead of pushing their students to do more, teachers will stunt their students' learning to keep them on track with the rest of the class. This was the case for Grace, whose fourth grade teacher took away her Twilight book. In her literacy narrative, Free Writing Challenges Literacy Narrative, she writes,
"She started to cause a scene in front of the whole class about how she thought that the book was out of my reading level and I wasn't old enough or smart enough to read it."
It's obvious that this teacher didn't think Grace was going to be able to understand the book. Whether her intentions were to simply protect Grace or to make sure she didn't get ahead of the class is unclear, but either way, the experience caused Grace to
feel my face turn bright red and I instantly want to cry.
This experience is an example of a sponsor only allowing access to the things they deem appropriate.
Most of the time, literacy takes its shape from the interest of its sponsor.
What Brandt means is that sponsors will oftentimes only allow literacy learners to experience the literacy they feel is most important. Grace's teacher was withholding literacy because she thought the book was inappropriate. This isn't a good thing. Holding children back from challenging themselves can be, and in Grace's case was, detrimental. It's almost too easy to turn kids off from reading if a sponsor is obviously teaching for the wrong reasons. Brandt is aware of this pattern and warns her readers to identify sponsors' motives. These corrupt sponsors are damaging to students and can cause people to label themselves as victims. Brandt's right that not all sponsors of literacy are genuinely just trying to teach literacy, but I disagree with her belief that all sponsors have an alternative, selfish motive besides sharing literacy. Sponsors that are really just trying to teach oftentimes miss the mark and get labeled as bad sponsors. This kind of sponsorship is also bad because kids still perceive themselves as victims, regardless of the intent of the sponsor. Of course, there are exceptions to this concept. A lot of kids that feel beaten down by a negative sponsor are eventually uplifted by a new sponsor of literacy, whether it be a parent or a teacher. The music you've heard in this podcast today is by David Hollowitz, and it was accessed at freemusicarchive.com. And a special thank you to everyone that spoke in today's podcast, which was Seamus, Tanya, Paige, Jake, Kristen, and Stephanie. Today's date is April 23rd, 2019, and thank you all for listening.